We are responders, and our teen is the teacher. We will respond fairly to what our teen teaches us. If your teen teaches you to trust them, you respond by honoring them with more freedom and privileges and appropriate appreciation. That is the natural result of trust. If they teach you to be suspicious, you respond by asking them more questions and watching them more closely. I have been sharing with you 15 parental convictions as given by Buddy Scott in his book, Relief for Hurting Parents. I would like now to consider conviction number 8. We will be sure the discipline we choose to use is a natural consequence of the offense. Young people must recognize that the consequences they are experiencing are the natural results of their own wrong choices. You, as a parent, are not doing anything to them. It's not your fault. They are doing it to themselves. It's their own doings. Make sure the discipline is appropriate to the offense. For example, if your son skips school, the result is he is not fully trustworthy, and the natural consequences are he has taught the school personnel to trust him less. He has taught his parents to trust him less. A second incident might be a daughter screaming at her mother, "I hate you." The result of that is that the mother's feelings are deeply hurt. And the natural consequence of the behavior is this: the family won't feel as close. Parents are out of the mood to want to take her places and do things for her. Her parents will want to talk more and resolve the problem with her. And the family will need some recovery time. Now notice in the following examples how that the consequences are exactly matched to the offenses. Teens who teach us that we cannot trust them out of our sight must remain in our sight, grounded and more closely supervised. Teens who teach us that they will throw a party in our home when we are out of town must no longer be trusted to stay by themselves. Teens who teach us that we cannot believe what they say must understand that we'll be checking almost everything they say. Teens who teach us that we cannot trust them to remain sober must no longer be allowed to drive the family car or their car either. Teens who let their grades fall teach us that they must be more closely supervised in their studying, must watch television and play video games less, and must be checked on at school more frequently. Teens who teach us that they do not know how to take care of doors because they're always getting mad and slamming them may lose their bedroom doors for a week or so. Teens who teach us that they will use their privacy to plot things against the family's moral values must have their privacy interrupted so that they can be watched more closely. Teens who teach us that they will use the phones in their rooms to converse with the wrong crowd will have their phones removed from their rooms. It's been said that shepherds can't protect the sheep if they have direct lines to the wolves in sheep's clothing. Teens who teach us that they need counseling will be provided with counseling. Teens who teach us that they aren't putting forth an effort to remember to get their lunch money must solve their hunger pangs without mom or dad making a trip to the school. Teens who teach us that they aren't putting forth an effort to put their dirty clothes in the hamper must do their own laundry that week. Teens who teach us that they aren't taking their chores seriously must put off their own activities until their chores are completed. Did you notice that the consequences are exactly matched to the offenses? The teen must know that they cannot have it both ways, and the choice is clearly up to them. He or she should find themselves sitting in their bedroom wondering, "What have I done? What in the world have I gone and done? Will my parents forgive me? Will God forgive me? Can I forgive myself?" The discipline we choose as parents must be a natural consequence of the offense. Conviction number 9 is this: we are responders, and our teen is the teacher. We will respond fairly to what our teen teaches us. If your teen teaches you to trust them, you respond by honoring them with more freedom and privileges and appropriate appreciation. That is the natural result of trust. If they teach you to be suspicious, you respond by asking them more questions and watching them more closely. If your teen teaches you not to trust them, you respond by limiting their freedoms and privileges. It's up to them. Your teen is the teacher, and their great responsibility is to teach you to trust them. Remember our example about the boy who skipped school? What did he do? He taught the school personnel and his parents to trust him less. How did the teacher respond? They gave him zeros for the day and assigned him to 3 days in an alternative classroom setting. How shall we as parents respond to what our son has taught us? Since you taught us that we weren't able to trust you to have your car at school, we'll not allow you to drive it to school until trust can be reestablished. You remember the example about the daughter who screamed at her mother, "I hate you"? What did the daughter teach us? She taught us that we need to work on our relationship with each other and that we need to establish boundaries for rudeness and hostility. How should we respond to what our daughter has taught us? Well, since you've told us that you may have serious doubts about your love for us, we are hurt enough that we don't feel that we can drive the 100 miles to purchase your formal this Saturday. You remember that we have a saying in our family, if you're rude to the suppliers, you shouldn't expect new supplies. We need to get our relationship problems resolved before we can take on anything else. Our love for each other is the most important thing. If it becomes necessary, we'll secure the services of a family counselor to help us. We care that much. We love you, and we will always love you. Sit down with your teen and explain the teacher-responder relationship. You may want to say something like this. Your mother and I have figured out how to label what's been going on in our home. You are a teacher, and we are responders. We are responding to what you've been teaching us with the attitudes and the actions that you've been showing us. Now, we both want the same thing. You want more freedom and privileges, and we want those things for you too. We want to be able to trust you enough to give you more independence. Our dream all of these years has been to raise children worthy of trust. As a teacher, it's up to you. If you choose to teach us to trust you, we will respond by trusting you. If you choose to teach us to be suspicious of you, we will respond by asking you a lot of questions and checking up on things. If you choose to teach us not to trust you, we will respond by grounding you so that we can supervise you more closely and give you the opportunity to teach us to trust you again. We will do whatever you teach us to do. We will be responsive. Grounding is an important tool in the teacher-responder relationship. Grounding is not punishment. It is a structure that teaches responsibility to our teens. Here's an example of how you might present grounding to your teenager. "I'm very sorry you chose to tell us that you were going one place and went another instead. You've taught us that we can't be sure where you're going when you leave home. Therefore, we're going to respond by keeping you at home where we can give you a little closer supervision for a while. You used our phone to make the arrangements with your friends. And as you know, in our home, if you abuse a privilege, you lose that privilege. This means you'll be grounded from the phone as well. You and your friends have taught us that you don't make good music when you band together. Therefore, we're going to respond by warning you that another problem like this will cause us to believe that you and those friends are not good for one another. As for now, we'll call their parents and explain to them what has happened and inform them of the stand we're taking. And while we're dealing with problems, your grade card came this week. It wasn't good news. We were especially disappointed because you kept telling us that things were going so well at school. It seems that you need to study more, that you need to be supervised more closely in your studying, and that we need to stay in closer touch with the school. We'll be careful to provide better supervision. Our trust has been damaged, and more than anything else, we want to trust you. Therefore, we're going to give you a way to teach us to trust you again. We're going to set up a 30-day grounding schedule for you for this very purpose. This is not punishment, and we're not trying to get back at you. We just want to provide you with a way to reestablish trust. Incidentally, you won't be grounded from your weekly church activities since we try not to take positive things away from our children. Your part is to teach us to trust you again. Our part is to respond to whatever you teach us. If all goes well for 10 days, you'll have earned the privilege of having trustworthy friends over once each week. If all goes well for 20 days, you'll have earned the privilege of using the phone again for pre-approved calls. If we get a good report, we check with your teachers, you'll have earned the privilege of studying 30 minutes less each evening. And if after 30 days you've continued to teach us to trust you, you'll have earned the privilege of going out again, provided we know where you're going and who you'll be with. You'll be ungrounded. If you do well for an extended period of time for 2 months, we'll be so happy that we'll want to celebrate, and we'll all go to your favorite restaurant in honor of your success. Each of our children will be able to take a friend. I'd like to point out some significant elements in this example of grounding. First of all, grounding is presented as an opportunity for re-teaching trust. It is presented in a friendly manner and is presented from the point of view that it is going to accomplish some positive things in the teenager's life. That grounding is the natural consequence of the teenager's misbehavior. it clearly places the responsibility for good on the shoulders of the teenager. This type of grounding does not take positive things away from the teenager, and it builds in incentives and rewards into the grounding structure. There are motivational factors included. I believe this is the proper way to present grounding to our children.